From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Speer. Speaking to an audience in Madison, Wisconsin today, President Obama said it is time for states to look at rewriting their education laws. The president said that Washington would be prepared to offer some $4 billion in education grants as an incentive for state education officials, ready to embark on the process through the administration's so-called Race to the Top grants.
If you're willing to hold yourselves more accountable, and if you develop a strong plan to improve the quality of education in your state, then we'll offer you a big grant to help you make that plan a reality.
Mr. Obama said education is an important key to success, and he called on lawmakers to make it a priority. The president said the money will go to those states which take a top-to-bottom approach to education overhaul. In some cases, that could include closing schools or replacing staff. Teachers' unions have opposed such drastic measures. 23 Americans were convicted in absentia by an Italian court today in the first ever criminal trial contesting the CIA's practice of extraordinary rendition. NPR's Sylvia Pedroli reports from Milan.
Judge Oscar Maggi handed down the ruling in what is seen as a landmark case against the Bush administration's anti-terrorism policies. The defendants were accused of kidnapping an Egyptian cleric who says he was taken to Cairo and tortured in prison. Former Milan CIA station chief Robert Selden Lady was given the stiffest sentence, 8 years in prison. 22 other Americans were sentenced to 5 years. But the judge cited diplomatic immunity in his acquittal of the three other American defendants, including the former Rome CIA station chief Jeff Castelli. The case had been seriously obstructed by successive Italian governments, which raised the issue of state secrecy. Judge Maggi acquitted the two top Italian defendants, citing the Constitutional Court's ban on the use of some evidence as classified. Sylvia Poggioli, NPR News, Milan.
After 2 days of meetings, Federal Reserve policymakers today said they will keep their benchmark interest rates steady at near 0%. The Fed has maintained very low rates since last fall in an effort to stimulate the economy. NPR's John Itzde reports.
In their statement, members of the Federal Open Market Committee said that since their last meeting in September, economic activity has continued to pick up. They noted that activity in the housing market has increased and household spending appears to be expanding, but they acknowledged it remains constrained by ongoing job losses. The committee members said that because of slack in the economy, inflation will remain subdued for some time, allowing them to keep the benchmark federal funds rate in the range between 0 and 0.25%. They said current economic conditions justify keeping the rate at exceptionally low levels for an extended period. They reiterated that they will wind down much of the Fed's extraordinary support for housing finance by the end of March. John Itzde, NPR News, Washington.
This is NPR. New York's Attorney General Andrew Cuomo has filed suit against Intel, charging the company with making illegal threats and collusion as part of an ongoing effort to dominate the market for microprocessors. The suit contends that Intel sought to prevent the sale of competitors' products by paying computer makers billions of dollars in kickbacks. As the world's largest maker of computer chips, Intel's products are found in many of the world's PCs. Cuomo says the company's practices were revealed in internal emails. In May, the European Union fined the company $1.45 billion on similar charges. Intel has denied any wrongdoing. Anthony Sowell has been arraigned on charges of rape and aggravated murder. The Cleveland man is suspected in the killings of at least 10 people at his home. And as Dan Bobkoff of member station WCPN reports, many residents are questioning if police were negligent.
As crews continue to search in and around Anthony Sowell's home, police are already facing tough questions from the public. How could it be that a convicted rapist and registered sex offender could avoid detection for years? Police had been to the home twice in the past 3 years, and Sowell had to check in with the sheriff's office regularly. Were the sheriff's office and police communicating? Did anyone investigate persistent complaints about horrible odors in the neighborhood? And did police give enough attention to this poor, predominantly black neighborhood? Cleveland Police Chief Michael McGrath defended his officers.
I wouldn't say we dropped the ball. We were very vigilant in what we did. And when we did have the right information, we proceeded directly to investigate it, and we continue our investigation.
The case is likely to be among the worst serial killings in Ohio history. For NPR News, I'm Dan Bobkoff in Cleveland.
On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average closed up 30 points to end the session at 9,801. I'm Jack Speer, NPR News in Washington.